Hello, everybody. We'll get started in just a moment. Hi, folks, just joining. Happy New Year. We'll be getting started in just a moment, just getting set up here. Hello, welcome everybody. We'll be getting started in just a moment. Okay, Happy New Year, everyone. Let's go ahead and get started. Welcome, welcome. I hope that you had a restful break, for those of you who've had a break. We're looking forward to starting 2026 with all things reporting. So I'm wondering if someone would be willing to do attendance today. It's just a matter of going to our page. And then, marking who's here, who's not, and adding any new names. Is there anyone who'd be willing to do attendance today?
I can.
Thanks, Anne. Appreciate it. All right. Just gonna. Okay. All right. Okay. So, our meetings are held the first 4 Mondays of each month. And first question is, what topics would you like us to cover in the reporting SIG? We always want to gather new ideas if there are any that you've been thinking of, and you may have like a fresh, clean slate as you're coming back from the holidays. Any topics that we haven't covered or that you'd like us to cover again. And if you suggest a topic, it doesn't mean it's that, you have to give a presentation. But we're just looking to see if there's something that you'd like to see us cover. We're happy to reach out to folks. As we have for today's presentation, we're going to have Kathleen Moore up here real quick to talk about lists. Okay, so don't hesitate to reach out to me or to Scott Perry if you have any items that you'd like to have us cover in the reporting SIG. Okay, new fields and features. We'll take a look at that for Sunflower at some point. Let's see. For future meetings, we're going to be talking about the MetaDB 1.4 release and hopefully have an update for you on that soon. And we'll do a MetaDB data privacy subgroup update. So there's a small group that has been working on data privacy issues for MetaDB. And if you're interested in joining us, don't hesitate to reach out to me. We've made a lot of headway on getting sort of analyzing functionality and what we need to do around data privacy. Are there any new members who have just joined us who would like to introduce themselves? Okay, and whether you're new or coming back, if you have any questions about, how to get hooked in, make sure that you have a calendar invite, or you want to get on our mailing list, or you want to know what channels you should join in Slack, please don't hesitate to reach out to me or to Scott so we can help you get acclimated to the reporting SIG and take a look. There's a lot of stuff. So if you're new and not familiar with any of that, just let us know. Okay. We always need
Sharon,
folks.
it looks like somebody's in Microsoft Teams
Oh.
in a
Okay.
lobby. I
Oh.
just something popped up on my screen that said someone is waiting in the lobby.
Let's see. Do we have Scott? I don't know how I can. I don't know if I can do both.
Oh, it just went away. It just went
Oh,
away, so.
okay.
All right, sorry.
Okay. If someone wouldn't mind if you could put on LDP Reporting General or one of our Folio Reporting General, just put, we're in Zoom, not Teams or something like that on one of those Slack lists. If somebody wouldn't mind posting that, that would be fabulous. Just so that people know. I wonder, or maybe I could do that real quick. And I could provide the link to our Zoom. Let me just do that real quick. That way that person can hopefully find us. Okay. Okay, let me just put out this blanket message here. Okay. All right, so hopefully they'll find us. All right, let me get back to. Thanks, Anne. Okay. Okay, we're always looking for derived table support. We're taking a fresh look at that in 2026, and I would love to work with you if you have an interest in helping with that. More to come on that. We still have a lot of work to do on derived tables. Please reach out to me if you're interested in working on that. Just a quick before we launch into the Kathleen Moore's presentation on the Lists app. I just wanted to let you know that there's been an update to the reporting app, which fixes some things. So if you're interested in taking a look at that, just open up our notes and you can take a look at UI LFP-179, the fix for that under UI LDP. If you're interested, just reach out to me if you are interested in what that means. So he's hoping to get that into a critical service patch, so that could be helpful. All right. So without further ado, we have Kathleen Moore here today, who is product owner for the Lists app, and she's going to provide us with an update on functionality included with the Folio Sunflower release. Thank you so much for joining us today, Kathleen, and I'll let you take away the share.
Awesome. Thank you, Sharon. And give me a second just to find the controls in Zoom. I always stumble. And then let me make sure I'm sharing the right screen. Okay. Hopefully, everybody should see a slide that says List app updates for the reporting SIG.
Yes.
Okay. Perfect. And as I go today, please feel free to ask questions, unmute yourself if you want to. I'll also try to watch chat, but I do sometimes miss chat. So, just an overview. As Sharon mentioned, I'll do a Sunflower update. If there's time and interest, I can do a really quick update on Trillium of the development we have underway for that. And if there are any questions as well, we'll make time for that. Okay, so Sunflower. These are the biggest things that went out as part of the Sunflower release for the List app. The first one is that we added the ability to query more types of custom fields. So on user records, there are multiple types of custom fields. And in the Sunflower release, we added support for single select dropdown options, as well as radio buttons and short and long text boxes. And so previously we would return data for any of these types of custom fields, but in Sunflower we added the ability to query them. And so you can see here in this screenshot as an example, this was a custom field for a radio and using the in operator here so that we could have multiple values, and then the actual options are here. So that was the support added in Sunflower. I believe the last type or two of custom field that was not covered in Sunflower was added in Trillium. So we, as of Trillium, we should support all types of custom fields on user records. There is also some support on, I can't recall if it's purchase orders or purchase order lines, whichever one of those has custom fields. And as development progresses on custom fields and inventory, we're closely watching that so that we can add support for those fields as well. So the next thing we did is we added a ton of data that you could use in the List app. And so the list here is specifically the record types that were added as part of Sunflower. So quite a few in the area of finance, invoice, as well as orders. As of the Sunflower release, the List app supports 17 quote unquote record types. So some of these, what we're calling record types, are a combination of data from different records. And I'll open up Sunflower Bug Fest in just a moment, just to show you just a handful of these to give an idea of the sort of things that we've added and the coverage for those. I also just adding this slide just to give an idea of what each version of the List app has in terms of records that are available. I've linked on this slide, and I'll make sure that I upload the slides to the agenda for today. But there are two pages that I've recently updated that include details on the records and fields that are supported by release in the List app, as well as the second one is for each release, you can see all of the fields that are available for that record type. And let me just show you those pages really quick. So this first page, again, this is the record type and fields. So I've linked to each of the flower releases, and it includes a list of the record types, and then it links to the page of the fields for each of those record types. So if we come down to Sunflower, we can see here that there are 17 supported record types. I tried to indicate which ones are new in the release with this little new. And then if we click on the fields by release, this breaks it down so that you can see within, so like in this case, within the budget record type, these are all of the fields that are available. This is what they'll display as in the list app. I just scroll down a little bit. This third column indicates if it's a nested field, how it'll appear under that nested field so that you have an idea of what it'll look like. And then it indicates if each of the fields is queryable or not, because not all fields are queryable. We return data on some fields that are not yet queryable, especially in the Sunflower release. And so this gives you a way to sort of filter down and see what options are available per release. And I'll keep adding one of these pages with each release. Actually, I'm going to go back to the browser real quick, and I'm just going to go into this is the Sunflower Bugfest environment, and I'm just going to show a couple of the new record types that we added. So if I filter here on the left to budgets, I can come in here and see lists that have already been created of the budget record type. I'm going to come into this one that somebody had already created. And so in this case, it's budgets that are encumbered but not expended. And so we can see here what they use to build this query, as well as the results. I come in here and edit this. I'm just going to go edit the query so we can see it a little bit more user-friendly here, what those fields look like, specifically what they're searching. So like in this case, greater than zero, and they expended less than one to see how they are creating that query. I come in just to give an idea of what types of fields are available here for budgets specifically. So there are quite a few fields that are available for the budget type. There are also, as you can see here, fiscal year fields so that you can narrow this down to different fiscal years. And then also for funds, we've added data on the different funds as well as the ledgers with that. So even though this record type is called just budgets in the UI, it does actually contain data from multiple record types in it. For anybody who is not as familiar with the List app, it also uses a user's existing permissions to determine if they should be able to see a record type. So, like in this case, I would have to have existing permissions in Folio to be able to see all of this data in order to be able to see it in the List app. So, I would need those permissions plus List app permissions, and then I would be able to create a list on that. If I did not have those permissions, budgets would not appear as a record type for me in the list app. So I'm just going to cancel out of this. And then, let's see, I'll just go into maybe one or two more example lists here. So this one is fund with ledger. And so we can see here, in this case, it's looking at a variety of, go ahead and edit this, donor organizations. And so we can see here, we're looking for funds that does not contain any of these donor organizations. If I were to come down here, I can choose quite a few more fund fields that I can query on, as well as fields specifically from the ledger that I could come in and query on. Let me see. Let me just, I'll show one more example of one of these new ones. And so this one is purchase order lines with titles. And so what this one does is it combines the existing purchase order line entity type that we already had and adds information from inventory with it. And so again, I'm just going to come into one of these just so that we can see types of things that you're able to do. And so, in this case, it's looking at the created date of the purchase order line. But if I wanted to, I could query not only on purchase order line fields, but several instance fields as well, as fields from the order, information on who created this, as well as who updated it, and then organization fields as well. So this particular entity type has quite a few variety of fields that you can query based on.
Kathleen, there's a question in the chat.
Thank you. That popped off my screen.
So just for everyone to hear, if you don't have permission to see a field, does the field show in the Lists app or does it just not bring the information back if you don't have access? I'm just doing that for the recording.
Thank
So
you. That
if
is
people are watching it later.
super helpful. Okay, so there is, I think, one or two minor exceptions to what I'm going to say, but overall, if you don't have permission to see a given field, then you shouldn't have access to see that record type in the list app. So right now it's structured, so you have to have permissions to see everything that's available in a record type. Otherwise, you don't have access to it. So it doesn't. So if it requires permissions for four things and you only have three of them, you would not be able to see that record type. So it's not as granular as just you wouldn't see the field that you don't have access to. It would stop you from seeing that whole record type. And that was an excellent question.
Thank you. I just have a quick follow-up. So, are there any documents that could help people with sort of setting up these permissions correctly? Because it seems like as this expands, we're going to need to know more about how to set these permissions up.
Yes. Let me. I'm going to make a note to myself. I'm going to go find. We do have some pages available that document the specific permissions that are required to be able to see a record type in the List app. We have tried to mirror the permissions that are required in other Folio apps so that it should align. For instance, like if you have access to the Orders app, that you would be able to see orders content. But again, I'll link to the page where we document some of those specific permissions.
Thank you so much, Kathleen. There's a follow-up question from Joanne in the chat.
Okay, yep. So can you clarify what you mean by record type? That's not the same as a named table. Okay, correct. And that is an excellent question. I'm going to close out of this real quick. And so, like this list that we're looking at right here, which is just an example one of purchase lines, right here, we call it a record type, which is the purchase order lines with titles. We also sometimes refer to it as an entity or an entity type when we're talking about lists or FQM. It's essentially all of the combined data that is available within this type of list in the list app or this type of query within FQM. So it the majority of the time it's going to go beyond a single table. because it's going to be combining data from a variety of tables, even for what we'd consider like a traditional record type. And I see someone's got a hand raised as well.
I just, since we're already on the topic, I noticed playing around with Sunflower that acquisition unit, if you just have access to finance or order, you can see all the different acquisition units information. Is there any, like, it, you know, further down the road, is there any work to make it even more granular so that only the person that has access to a certain acquisitions unit can see the financial information? Or is that just way beyond? Because, you know, we have acquisition units for each campus, so we don't really want everyone to view each campus's information.
Okay, yep, yeah, that makes sense. As far as I know, there is not currently a plan to get more granular to that. But I'm curious to hear more about that use case and to sort of understand how it might how it works in other apps to see if there's something similar that we could potentially follow with lists and FQM. But that's not something that is currently planned.
Yeah, thank you. I was just going to say that it's kind of an issue in the sense that we probably will not give people permissions to use a list app for acquisitions data just because they can view every acquisitions unit data. And so that's something that might restrict us giving permission to the list app. Certain people. So.
Okay, that's good to know.
Thank you. I know that's really granular and probably hard to do. So I
No,
don't know if
that's
it's just us, but just it's something that we're always looking to do.
yeah, no, that's an excellent question, though. And I will follow up on that and I will get back to you on that. The next few things are improvements that we made to the user experience when you're in the query builder. And so the query builder is the, you know, it's what how you build the query both in the list app and if you're using bulk edit and you're editing a query or creating a query, it uses that same query builder. And so we did a couple of things to make it a little bit easier to use. And so I'm just going to come back over here real quick. I'm going to see if we have any. I'm going to use organizations as my example. Sure, we can come into this list. And we'll come in and we're going to edit this query. And so the first thing that I mentioned was the organization lookup. And so while we do provide a dropdown for an organization code or for an organization name, if your institution has more than 1,000, these dropdowns have a limit of 1,000 records. And so what we have is this organization lookup. So when you click on it, it pops open this little modal. So that you can narrow it down more specifically and choose, you know, exactly what it is that you're looking for. So if I wanted to update it, I could do that. Another improvement that we've made is that in the previous versions, if you wanted to delete the first query parameter, you couldn't. It forced you to always keep that first one. And now, as long as you have, it's a little bit hard to tell on here, but like right now, this is grayed out because I don't have another query parameter. But if I add one, I'm now able to delete either. So I could delete the second one or this first one. So if I delete that first one, then I still can come in here We'll just do. I'm just going to choose one here. The last one, improvement that I want to talk about is that previously, if you changed your operator when you already had a value selected, it would erase or deselect your value. And so now when you come in and change it, so if I change this to not equal to, it'll retain that value as it makes sense to. So if I change it to in, which is multiple selections, it'll keep the one that you have selected and will allow you to still add more. Now if I go from these multiple selections down to an operator that only allows one value, it'll keep that first selection. But again, you can go in and change it. Previously, it would wipe out whatever you had for the value. So that's just meant to make it a little bit easier to use these selections as you're building a query. Let me see. Does anybody have questions? And I don't want to do a quick time check. Do I have enough? Do you think I have enough time to do a quick what's coming in Trillium? Or do we think we're
I don't have any other topics scheduled, so I just
okay?
had that quick little reporting app update. So you're free to use the rest of the hour if you'd like. Thanks.
Okay, I can go into Trillium, and I see that there's a question. Is there a plan to add any other lookups, like users, maybe? That is a great question. I am not familiar with the user lookup, so I will look into that a little bit more. And I know the we hit the it was institutions that had more than 1,000, which is what introduced the initial issue with the drop down with pre-selections. I'm going to hop into Trillium updates real quick. And so most of what I'm going to show the development is complete or mostly complete for. This first thing is available both in the list app as well as bulk edit when you go to build a query. And that is that you're able to query more types of repeatable fields. So in Sunflower and earlier releases, you could only do predefined repeatable fields. So if they had a value drop down, you were able to query them. We have expanded that so that you can now also query free text fields. And so this little recording that's playing is showing a combination of that, as well as Boolean fields. And so the operators do vary slightly based on the type of field that the repeatable field is. Another thing that I'll just mention, because in this example that it's showing, is instance contributors, some of those various fields. And so we've added the ability to query many nested fields within the list app. In Trillium, so that was not previously available. You weren't really able to get down multiple levels into some of those fields. And so that is now available in the query builder. So again, that is for both lists and bulk edit. We had towards the end of last calendar year, we had a UAT or user acceptance testing on this. And we appreciate everybody who participated and provided feedback on that. The next thing is something that I think this group especially is going to be really excited about, which is the ability to create user-defined entities with joins, which are these entities you can create via API, but once they have been created, you can use them in the Lists app. And so what that means is that FQM, which is Folio Query Machine, is the back end of the Lists app. And those record types that were asked about earlier, those are all built from what we call entities or entity types. And so we have lots of entity type definitions behind the scenes. This will allow users to combine any of those existing definitions in different or additional ways. So it does not allow users to create a new database source yet. So it has to be an existing entity type within the Lists app, but it will allow you to customize what exactly gets joined from different data points or record types. And so, like an example that I was testing with recently was that I created a record type that joins instances and holdings so that you can query and find instances that don't have any holdings associated with them, which our current entity type for holdings, you're not able to do that. And so this gives more flexibility. And again, so the creating of the entity types is done through the API, but once they've been created, you can use them in the Lists app to create content on them. And I'm hoping that early next week, I'm actually going to have a few different UATs running on this. One being more technical for those who are familiar and comfortable with APIs to actually run through using some of these endpoints that we've created. And I'm also hoping to have a less technical one that is more of just sort of reviewing the workflows and making sure that the process that we're introducing makes sense. I know that the desire is to eventually have a UI in front of this, but the initial version will be API only. And yes, we have a chat comment here saying there should be a library of custom entity types libraries have created so we can replicate. Very much agree and support that. And I do have, I don't know how interested this group is in watching a short recording of an API, if they want to see it or not. I do have that. Otherwise, that was the last major update I wanted to cover for Trillium, other than that we're continuing to add more data coverage.
There's time, if you'd like to jump into that, Kathleen.
Yeah. Give me one second. I'm just gonna.
Are there any
I hear.
questions that folks have for Kathleen while she's shifting gears here? Okay.
Okay, so does somebody have a question?
I don't see any at this point.
Okay, so just to give a little bit of context, so there are sort of two aspects of this. The first is we've created an endpoint called available joins, and this helps guide you through figuring out what types of record or data can be connected with each other. And then once you have those pieces, then we also have a series of endpoints that you can use to create, edit, delete entity types, custom entity types. So let me go ahead and play this. And is the audio coming through for that? I'm not sure if it's sharing the audio or not.
I don't hear anything except you.
Okay, I'm going to mute this then and I'll talk through it. And that way I don't hear myself on recording. Okay, so this is the first, the available joins endpoint. And so this is just passing in an empty body. So it's returning all available record types. And so it returns like the label, which is just the name of it, a UUID, and a simple description. In this example, I'm looking for instances. And so I'm just searching for the response. And so I can see that there's a record type for instances. So now I'm going to resend this request, but I'm going to use the I'm going to add a source of instance records. And so what that is going to do is now available joins is going to send me a list of all of the record types that can be joined with instance records. And so you can see here there's several different types of instance fields, as well as there are other types of records. And so what I'm going to do next is I believe it's going to be a holdings, but I'm going to add a target ID. And what that means is I want to see how instances and holdings join. And so when I send this next request, what's going to happen is it's going to say, these are the fields that they join on. This is how it would show in the UI, and this is the value for the specific field. So once you have, and if there are multiple combinations, then those would all be returned. So once you have those sources and how those fields are joined, you can go to this secondary API, which is the allowing you to actually create it. So in this case, I've added two sources, one for instances and one for holdings. And I included the target fields and source fields that I got with available joins as part of it. And so I'm just going in here and updating the name of it. And so as soon as I create it, I can come in here into the list app and I can find the entity type that I created. There is an option. There's two settings. One can determine whether or not you want to expose it through the list app or not. So if you want it to be just API only, you can set that so it's not available in the list app. And there is another setting, whether or not you want to share that custom entity type with other users or not.
There's a quick question in the chat. Is there a limit to the number of joins, or is it just limited by what's available?
I believe it's limited by what's available. That would be an excellent thing, though, if someone is interested in playing around with that once we get the UAT up and going, just to see what types of joins or content people are able to create. And so I know that was a very quick overview of what those endpoints do. And so I've got much more thorough documentation and steps that are going to be provided for the UAT to go along with this. But I'm really excited about this functionality. And I think it really is going to add a lot of value to the list app, as well as FQM. And that's all I had, unless anybody else has questions.
Thank you, Kathleen. This is very exciting and very interesting. Does anyone have any questions? Or any comments or responses or anything come up for people? Okay. All right, we have some excitement about joints. Okay. Well, Kathleen, thank you so much. This is just perfect. We got more than we expected here. More than we got sunflower, we got Trillium and this new API tool. So, really jam-packed full of information. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you for
Oh,
the invite.
we do have a question. Eliana is wondering about the impact on upgrades when adding custom entities, but we'll see about that. Yeah, hopefully. I don't know if you wanted to respond to that, Kathleen.
Yeah, and by and large, it should be automatically handled as part of updates and migrations. We're adding some additional testing to make sure that these custom entities are fully covered by migrations in case any of the underlying data changes. But we don't expect really any impact on upgrades related to these because they function by and large the same as all of our other entity types or record types.
Very good. All right. Any other questions from folks? Okay. I'm sure you can reach out to Kathleen over Slack if you have more questions. Kathleen, why don't I follow up with you after this meeting just to get links in the right place for the follow-up information? So I guess we'll have documentation links and things like that to put together so we can just give people that additional information. All right. All
Sounds
right.
great. Thank you.
All right. Well, thanks everybody for joining. And thank you so much, Kathleen, for an excellent presentation. Really appreciate it. All right. All right. We'll see you at the next reporting meeting. Take care, everybody. Have a good week.
Have a good week.